Mr. Watson, Reel 4. We were talking about your time when you were with the Royal Tank Regiment Depot at Cove, and we were talking about your basic training. Now, that was only for the first 6 or so weeks.
6 weeks.
And then what would happen then? Had you been assessed as to what you'd go into in the Royal Armoured Corps or Tank Regiment?
If I were assessed, I don't know. Obviously, I must have been assessed. Somebody must have said something. But after the first 6 weeks, I was trained in radio operating and in driving.
Well, let's look at the radio operating first, because that was dearest to your heart at the time.
Well, that was obviously
how did they train you in that, and how far did it go along with your previous experience?
What happened in that incident, I knew more about the theory of radios than the instructor. And instead of the instructor instructing the class, I had to go up and give the instructions on theory. Because he contested me. He said, you know a lot more about this. How is it? So I said to him, well, I made radios. I know all about the theory. I trained at this merchant navy place. So he said, well, can you come up and explain to the class the theory of radio, how it works for us? So I gladly went up and did that. He was good on the Morse code. We obviously, at that time, we were learning on, I think, the number 11 set. I don't think the 19 set was out then. We learned on the number 11 set. I think they were developing.
Could you give us a description of the number 11 set?
I can't remember anything about it. All I know is it wasn't as good as the 19. The 19 was a much more comprehensive because it included the ultra shortwave and the shortwave, and I'm sure the number and intercom all in one set. And I'm sure the number 11 set didn't include all three.
Perhaps
aspects.
We'll come back to the 19, I think, later when when you're in.
Well, we were trained on this, and I think we had a smacking on the 19, but we were trained on the 19, we were trained particularly on Morse code.
How did you do that? I mean, you must have been well
Morse
ahead.
Morse code, I was top of the class, obviously, because I already knew it, you see. I'll tell you another story, but not on this tape, because it's not repeatable on this tape about the Morse code. But I'll tell you that quite separately. But I thoroughly enjoyed the radio training, and I obviously got to know to speak into the phone and the rest of it.
Did they teach you radio wireless procedures, Roger and out and all this, the alphabet,
we'll come out and all that sort of thing. Oh yeah, they taught us the whole of the procedures, exactly how to go on and how it worked in the regiment. Oh no, it was a comprehensive training. Well, quite comprehensive.
And you enjoyed it?
Oh, I enjoyed it, totally, yeah. Well, you see, don't forget, I haven't told you that the bank, directly I went to the bank, I knew I would never go back there because I was not suited for an indoor life. What particularly irritated me about the bank was they had a high incidence of what in those days was called consumption, what is nowadays called tuberculosis. In other words, a lot of the staff suffered from tuberculosis. That nevertheless, 99% of the staff smoked, and they did not believe in having the windows open. I, as a non-smoker, because my father had given me a pipe when he caught me smoking at 14, and said, if you want to smoke, then have this pipe. Naturally, I was sick, and I was sick for 2 days, because I didn't take the pipe easily. I was breathing in deeply, feeling big clouds of smoke. After that, I never looked at tobacco again. So I went into the bank not liking it, and when I opened the windows were shut. So I made my mind up. Obviously, when the work lessened and some of the staff went up for the services, we didn't have the same concentration, and the circumstances weren't so bad, and the shorter hours, of course. But I made my mind up never to go back to the bank. But anyway, I thoroughly enjoyed this training because it got me into the open air, which I liked. I enjoyed the company, I enjoyed the instructors, I enjoyed every aspect about that place. Now, what you've got to bear in mind, I went there in April and I came out in September. Now, whether that coloured my enjoyment...
You mean it was summer?
I can't tell you. You've got to bear in mind that the best time, it's the same when I built this house. I started this house in the spring and finished it in the autumn, which is the best time to do anything. And it was the best time for me to do my basic training.
Now, what about your driving training? Well, how did they start? Because you didn't drive at all.
Never driven at all. Well, you drove, you learned on 1,500 weight trucks.
How did they do it?
Well, they got you in there with an instructor. It was all double D clutching. There was never any synchronous gearboxing. All double D clutching. And they just took you round. And after a bit, they took you out on the roads. I can always remember one instructor saying to me, "Now look, trooper, you have got to learn that you cannot go round a corner at speed. The slower you go round the corner, the tighter the turning circle." He was a good instructor. How they put up with some of us, I don't know. But I got on quite reasonably well with them. Driving, and then after we'd driven the 1,500 weights, we went on the Ben Gunn carriers, which I thought were absolutely wonderful. And we went down to a place.
Now that's not the same system of driving, is it?
Ben Gunn carriers are completely different. You've got the gearbox the same, but you work sticks instead of a steering wheel. But I got on quite well with Ben Gunn carriers, and then we went on to tanks, and we used to do our training in a place called Long Valley, which was a sandy expanse, obviously chewed up by, I think we did a bit of training on Valentine's, and then we did some training on one of the lighter tanks, whether it was a Crusader, or was there a thing called a Covenanter, I forget, a Covenanter, I think we did our training on. They weren't as fast as the Crusaders. And we'd be training on all of those.
Now, could you explain to us how you drove a tank? We missed it in the Bren carry, but how did all these tillers work? Because most of them would have tillers, wouldn't they?
Well, they had a gearbox, obviously the same, but they were all double. They were all double D clutch gearboxes on English tanks.
Could you explain what that? Again, we missed that. What does that mean?
Put you in the tank. You'd obviously never driven it before. And they made you go through the gears while you were stationary so that you got the hang of the gears. And they also...
What did double declutching mean now?
Double declutching means that you put the clutch down, you pass the gear lever into neutral, you let the clutch up, you then put the clutch down again and put the gear lever into the gear you are selecting, and let the clutch up again. In other words, to change gear from one to the other, your foot goes down twice and up twice. With synchromesh, it goes down once and up once. The big drawback of a Sherman tank was a synchromesh gearbox. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that.
No, they haven't. We'd better come to that later.
So you
had to go to neutral before you could go. It was a double change.
Yeah, a double deflection.
But you got the hang of that.
Oh, you got the hang of it. And bear in mind, the same happened, you see, on the 1500 weight.
Now, so that was one aspect of driving. Now, what about the actual steering?
Obviously, the steering of it was a bit baffling to start with, but they made sure that you went slowly until you got the hang of pulling the levers. They didn't let you do drive at top speed and then show you how to run.
So how did you steer?
Well, you pulled the levers backwards, which had the effect of slowing the track, slowing one track, and the other track went its normal speed. You pulled the right-hand one back to brake on the right hand, which means the left hand one was going, so you would therefore turn right. You pulled the left hand one back, the reverse happened, you therefore would turn left, which is common sense, down on the left.
And anything else about driving tanks? I mean, would they have a brake? I mean, it sounds silly, but does a tank have a brake?
You had a brake, but the brake was the levers, was it not? But you see, you had a brake on the tanks, but it was purely, as they kept on insisting, that's only a parking brake. You don't stop the tank with it. You stop the tank with the levers.
So the parking brake, well, how did that work?
When you just pull the lever, I forget exactly how that happened, you pull the lever up and that engaged a couple of diaphragms in the back, you see, but it was purely a parking brake, so that if the tank was parked on a slight slope, it didn't run away of its own volition.
So it would grip the tracks in some way?
I don't think it gripped the tracks, it gripped the drive, not the tracks.
Anything else about driving that you had to learn?
No, before you did any driving, by the way, they gave you a good basic course on the theory of motor cars. The theory. In other words, they got you into the workshops, they showed you, they had a Lanchester there, which is a car most people won't remember. They had a Lanchester gearbox, which was a peculiar sort of gearbox. You put a lever in, London buses used to have the same thing, you engage the gear, but the gear you engaged didn't come into being until you pushed the clutch up and down. It was a peculiar type of gearbox. They had all of these gearboxes, they had differentials, which they took the pieces in front of you. They explained the theory of internal combustion, internal combustion, and the other one, compression ignition, what they call now diesel. They explained all the theories of these things. They took all these things to bits in these workshops, and the chaps, they were obviously all fitters, explain all the theory of it, explains the practicalities of it, which I think helped enormously when you came to learn to drive, because you knew when you were pushing the clutch down that you were disengaging the drive from the gearbox. I mean, most people that learn to drive are never told things like that. They're told to push the clutch down to change the gears, but if you're given all the theories, you readily appreciate how it works and it helps with your driving. But the instructors, once again, I found first class, all of them. I had no trouble at all. I passed my driving test without a lot of trouble. It was all thoroughly enjoyable.
Anything else? So that's signal training, driving training.
We also learned semaphore there as well as Morse code. Not that we ever used it. But,
what about gunnery training?
We also did gunnery. I didn't take the gunnery as well as I did for the other side.
What gunnery training did you get?
Well, we had pistol, Bren gun, rifle, Thompson submachine gun.
And what did you think of all those weapons? For the pistol, for a start. The
pistol, I never really got the hang of. I found highly inaccurate. These people shoot people in films, I don't know. Highly inaccurate pistols. Rifles, I was mediocre. I didn't excel. We had a couple of chaps in our group who'd been in the territorials, and they'd done them. They worked in the City of London, and there used to be a rifle range up there, and they were very good at rifle shooting, and they used to tell me, you know, what to do and to assist me, because no rifles are accurate. I mean, you do a training shot, and if that's a little bit off, I never knew that. I just used to think it was me, but they impressed upon me, you need to correct your room. I got on all right with the Thompson submachine gun, knocked you back a bit, that did, and the brain was quite good.
What about the Sten? Sten gun?
Never invented it.
Now what about the machine guns? Because they had the British Beezer, and then they had the...
We weren't trained.
And the Browning.
We didn't have Brownings then, nor did the Browning .3 or the .5. Or the Sten. The Sten wasn't invented.
No, I mean tank machine guns.
We didn't do any training with tank machine guns. Not there as such.
And what about...
I think we did training with the two-pounders.
What do you remember of the two-pounder training?
Not very much. I don't think we did much training with it, actually. Not very much at all.
You didn't use these Riper turrets where you have a mock-up?
No.
And any other training you remember?
We did assault courses, but I don't think they were all that onerous.
What were they like?
The usual thing, climbing up over walls and up ropes and through holes in the ground, under tarpaulins. The usual thing that you see in training. I didn't think any of those were particularly hard work.
Did you do any tank driving on rough ground? That sort of training in, you know, how to go over
Long
a hill.
Long Valley was a very sandy valley and had dunes. And I mean, you could tip the tank sideways or go up a steep dune and down the other side. It was, you know, reasonable training ground.
Did they give you advice about, because tanks can tip over, things can go wrong.
We never tipped any of them over. Oh, they told you about everything. Oh, they made sure you didn't tip a tank over.
What about the tank's ability to go through obstacles or over trenches, things like that? Would they tell you what it could and couldn't do?
Yeah, they told us all about it. We had to drive them over gaps in the ground and down in the holes in the ground and up the other side. They created all this in Long Valley. Being in the summer, it was extremely dusty too. And they, you know, told you about making sure you could see, the visibility. It was extremely dusty. It would have been good training, I think, for the Northern Desert, but of course I never went through the Northern Deserts of Africa. But it was a very, very sound base for training. Very sound. The whole lot of it. Everything I learned, I remembered in later life. I've never forgotten my training on engines. It's been of great assistance to me. I can still take the class out of a modern motor car and put it back. I thought it, considering I was playing for nothing, I thought it was wonderful.
At the end of the course, were you qualifying as a driver operator?
At the end of the course, I passed with flying colours to driver operator. I got compliments from the sergeants and from the officer who interviewed me.
But did you fail the gunnery course, or did you just not do it?
No, I didn't fail the gunnery course. I didn't fail anything.
Did you do it?
I did it.
But it's not something you remember.
But I didn't excel at gunnery. But the rest of it, I excelled at.
And that's what you were going as a driver operator.
I was going as a driver operator. Yeah.
Now, what happened next? That was September 42. You passed out. Yeah. And what happened then?
Well, I was sent to the 5th and 4th Yeomanry at Fulham Park Camp.
Now, what do you remember of that?
Well, I was very upset because to start with, although it says in the regimental history they had good quarters, we were put in a bell team. And this, bear in mind, was September, October, when it wasn't very nice. The weather was wet and becoming cold. And we were put in a bell team.
So that was one thing. Now, you were joining a Scottish unit, and also they weren't Royal Tank Regiment. Did those two things bother you at all?
Oh, no, it didn't bother me that I was joining a Scottish regiment. Most of the men, by the way, were Scots. There weren't many English people in it.
How did that show itself, the Scottish character of the unit?
A lot of them spoke in an accent I didn't readily understand. There were, however, one or two other English people there. And I suppose we probably used to stick together more than we did later on. But the Scots, some of them were, what can I say, they were derogatory about us. One or two of them...
In what way?
Well, I found one or two of them, how can I put it, not of the same standard as the people I'd met in preliminary training. They were coarser people. I'm not being a snob now. I I've no time for selfishness, but I wouldn't rate them as my equal. I don't say, well, perhaps they suffered in intelligence, I don't know.
Were these Scottish original territorials or just Scottish recruits?
I don't know that, but they were Scots, one or two. I didn't find that with all of them. A lot of them were helpful, some of them were very helpful, but perhaps I was a bit unfortunate in this bell tent to which I first went. But the one or two that I was there with weren't very pleasant.
And what sort of things would they do?
Well, it's not what they did, it was their attitude towards you. They wouldn't help you, you see. It's sort of bloody well learn it yourself attitude. Whereas previously, everybody bent over backwards to help you. I mean, we were still basically green. I mean, it's no use pretending because you've done basic training. I mean, we had trained on tanks in real country. And we were basically green. We didn't know how the regiment. I mean, for a start, when I first went there, porridge was dished up in the morning. No milk. Salt. It's a habit which I got accustomed to, and in fact, I still eat porridge with salt. I've never dreamed of having milk on porridge. But that's the sort of thing. It's a kick to you. It's something that you had to learn. And I mean, some of their expressions, I mean, when a chap said a hoorah hell, I wondered what the dickens he was talking about. There were various expressions which I never cottoned on to, and it took me along. And they were very forthcoming. They wouldn't sort of say, oh, I mean so-and-so. They just, let you steer, and you had to learn what they meant by these.
I mean, in those days, you didn't hear Scottish accents if you were a southerner all the time.
Oh, no.
Accents were a lot harsher.
That's right. Well, working in a Belgian bank, so I've become accustomed to Belgian French accents, you see. And being in London, I mean, I never rub shoulders with any Scots. At all. Accents are humorous. So, you see, I always find perhaps the Fife accent wasn't too bad, but they had one or two people from Glasgow, and the Glaswegian accents, of course, are very guttural. Perhaps I put it down to their large influx of Lithuanians. People protest when I tell them about that, but it's a fact of history. But there was a large influx of Lithuanians in the early 20th century in Glasgow, and I think it altered their accents.
Now, you weren't with them long. I mean, you were sort of attached,
I was posted to 5 and 4 for Yeomanry. Well, I think I was only in this camp for about 4 weeks, you know, and then we were transferred up to Brandon.
So you weren't, and that's when you joined the...
That's when I joined this. I don't, quite frankly, I still don't know. I know that it ended up as Forward Delivery Squadron. I think it ended up as Forward Delivery Squadron 270. But it had other names, two other names before that. I know one of them was Tank Delivery Squadron. I can't think of the name of the other one.
And that's why you don't know particularly what squadron you were with during the brief time with the Fife and Foe Fire.
Well, no, I don't know.
Were there any particular...
Well, I may only have been attached, you see. They may have called me attached Fife and Foe Fire Yeomanry, knowing full well that I was going to this reinforcement holding unit. Because the whole time, you see, I was in the 5 and 4 for Yeomanry. I always wore a 5 and 4 for Yeomanry badge, although I was in the Tank Delivery Squadron, Forward Delivery Squadron. I was still attached 5 and 4 for Yeomanry.
Now, what were you doing during that 4 or 5 weeks there at Fornham Park?
Not much. Parades. Not much. We didn't do any driving of tanks or anything like that, no gunnery practice. I think they were probably in the process of moving up, the regiment moved to Chippenham, didn't they? Chippenham. You've got to be careful here because there are two Chippenhams. There's another one in Wiltshire, isn't there? I think they were in the process of, that's why we were in Belcliffe. I think they were in the process of moving up to Chippenham. And I don't think we did very much at all. Probably that's what irked me to after.
So you worked no real duties?
No real duties. Oh, guard duties. What was guard duty, yes.
What were guard duties like then? What was...
As always. The usual thing, whether it was 2 hours on and 4 hours off, and in some cases it used to be two on and two off. But being new there, you obviously got the worst one, which was the 2 to 4 one. I mean, the rest of them were not so bad. I 10 to 12, 12 to 2, not bad.
Did they have the stick man system where the smartest uniformed chap got off? Or was
no,
off?
No. I don't remember anything like that.
And what would you do on guard?
Well, you'd walk around as a rule with a pick handle. You'd walk around and walk around the tank. You'd hide yourself somewhere, and then the order officer would creep round. You'd have to shout out who goes in, give the password, and invariably all the officer was lazy than you were and staying in bed. But some of them used to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and come round. You used to know whether they were going to come by. Who's the orderly officer tonight? Oh, it's so-and-so. Watch it, he'll be round. Oh, it's so-and-so. You're all right there, he loves his bed.
Any other duties you remember?
Not there, no.
What about any characters from that time you recall, either friends or officers?
Any characters at all from that place. Well, I could have only been there a very short time.
So what was your next move then?
We went up to Brandon, and we were in Nissen Huts there, which was on the edge, I've looked at it on the map since. It's on the edge of a big area of Forestry Commission forest, all pines, sandy soil, and that's where we did all our tank training. And
now, this is where you went to the tank delivery squadron, as far as you know.
A forward delivery squadron or tank, yeah.
Which do you think it was then? I know you don't know.
I've got an idea it was tank delivery squadron then, but I don't know.
And you were still wearing your badge?
Yeah.
And you were still, as far as you were concerned, the Fife and Foe Farm.
And
that would be that you went there when the rest of them went to Chippenham.
Yeah.
So that would be October.
We never went to Chippenham.
That would be October 1942.
Yeah.
And how did you feel to be put in this in a delivery squadron?
Well, I mean, I understood it was a reinforcement unit to the regiment, and I mean, as far as I remember, we used to go on all of the exercises with the regiment. We had our own tanks. I used to be crew commander of a Crusader. Rather driving and operating it. That's how I proceeded.
And when you formed a crew, that would be entirely within this tank delivery squadron.
Yeah,
so you had your own crew.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Now, what could you describe? How many people? What was the squadron? I mean, how many tanks were there? Were there different types of tanks?
I don't know about this. I've got an idea that there were probably about 40 people in this unit, 40 to 50 people, right? And we probably used to have about 10 tanks. And were they three to a tank of Crusaders? Crew commander, driver, and gunner. Gunner or four, possibly four. Crew commander, operator, gunner, and driver. We used to go on exercises with
What were the characteristics of the Crusader tank then? Just describe the tank for us.
It was a very, in my opinion, a very light, fast tank. It had, from memory, an aero engine that had been developed by Rolls-Royce in the 1920s. I think it was 600 horsepower. Extremely powerful. They went very, very fast. Their big drawback was that although the gears were in the front, the gearbox was in the back, and they had cables from the front of the tank to the back of the tank, and it was possible, because those cables stretched, it was possible to be out of gear in the front of the tank, but the gearbox being in gear at the back of the tank, which led to all sorts of dangers. It was a trouble that, as far as I remember, they never corrected. They used to have grease nipples along these cables, but it all depended, I think, how ham-fisted the driver was. If he was to do his double detaching properly and ease the gear he was in, they would ease in ready. But if he was ham-fisted, the gear levers